Release. We are really excited about our church camp theme being release. A lot has already gone into this. We start our church camp on the main night, and then throughout the days, we have sub-themes for the overall theme. What is release? What are we going to be talking about with release? We're going to be talking about letting go of maybe some of the things in your life that you're holding on to, that you want to be holding on to, that you really don't have a desire to let go of, and releasing those over to the Lord. We're going to be talking about some of the things in your life that are terrible, gross things that you want out of your life that you need to be releasing. This isn't just teenagers, right? Like, we all need to think about the things that we need to release in our life. You say, how do you release things? Like, what is even the process? We're going to dig more into this at camp, but we've decided that our sub-themes for release are going to be rest, responsibility, and relinquish. And the first one is rest. How often do we all have so many times where we don't take time to rest with the Lord? This is something I really struggle with. There's moments where we can constantly be saying yes to everything, really good things, right? Like, you could constantly be saying yes to all church events and fill up your schedule and be saying yes to really good, positive things and not saying yes to alone time with the Lord. Resting with the Lord. As you see, freedom from activity. A lot of times we think of rest as actual sleep, and that sleep is great. I think that's an awesome thing. You should do that. But I'm talking about resting with the Lord. I had a friend recently give me a book called The Best Yes. And one of the themes of that book talks about how when you say yes to something, you're saying no to everything else. When you say yes to that meal, and then to that meal, and to that meal, and that hangout time, and that sports game, and that school event, and that home, all of those things, you're saying no to everything else. And when we don't take the time to rest with the Lord, how can we start to know what we even need to release? We can get so caught up in everything that we're doing that we don't know what we need to release. So the first step of release is this resting moment, alone time with the Lord, sitting with Him, gaining that peace of mind, saying, okay, how can I rest through this? Because the reality is, you're capable of resting. We're capable of doing this, but we don't take the time to do it a lot. We're told in 2 Timothy, the Lord has given us a spirit of power, love, and teenagers, be louder, and what?
Self-discipline.
Self-discipline, thank you. You have been given self-discipline. You have the opportunity to say yes to resting with the Lord. You are capable of doing so. Today we're going to be in a scripture that you've probably heard a lot of your life. I'm hoping that today we can all try to find something new. Some of you may have heard it, some of you may not, and that's totally fine, because we're going to get you geared up. We're going to be in Matthew 11. Before we get there, I'm going to catch you up to Matthew 11 and where we're at, so just kind of bear with me. If you know the first part of Matthew, awesome. If you do not, have no fear, you are not behind. Matthew, first gospel, first book in the New Testament, story of Jesus, really exciting. If you've read through the Bible before, some of our students are doing the 1189 program. When you hit the New Testament, you get really pumped. You see some red letters, you start to get excited about what this is going to mean, starting to get into the story of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, we have a genealogy. A fun genealogy, because if you've ever read Matthew, Matthew 1 leads us to the genealogy of Joseph. Kind of ironic. This is Jesus' earthly father, but this is Mary's boyfriend at the time. A genealogy, he lists this name after this name, this name after this name. I'm talking, you got Solomon in here, you got Ruth in here, and then it leads us to Joseph. What's beautiful about that is that you're included in this. This is like your average Joseph. Like, you're in this. So that's Matthew chapter 1. And then we go on, this awesome John the Baptist, he's like outdoorsman, super cool. He's preparing the way, baptizes Jesus, and then we get to Matthew chapter 5 through 7, greatest sermon of all time. Jesus drops the mic, great things happening. And then we get in to chapter 10. We're going to slow down for a second. After Jesus has healed some more people, doing some miracles left and right, we get into chapter 10. And in chapter 10, Jesus is sending out the 12 disciples that he's called previously in Matthew. So all this crazy stuff has happened. He's been baptized, he's healed people, he's called disciples, and then he says, all right, chapter 10, here we go. I'm sending them out. He sends out the 12 disciples, and he gives them some hints and some tips for this. And so some of these are saying, all right, if you get arrested, don't worry about it. Like, I got you, and I know I've got your words, too. We have that covered. Also, if people don't accept you, shake the dust off your feet and move forward. The advice that he's giving him now is really good advice for us to be releasing things. And then he also says, what I tell you in the dark, go and tell people in the daylight. If I whisper it to you, go and scream it. If you're sitting in those resting moments, go and tell. Now, sometimes there's those moments where the Lord tells us things that are just for us. It's just our one-on-one relationship with the Lord. But there's also times when the Lord tells us things that we get to go and say to other people. So he's telling us that, he tells that to his disciples. And then we get into chapter 11 where we're going to be today. So if you have your Bibles, you want to open up to chapter 11. I'll tell you what I tell the students. If you are confident enough to be on your Bible app, we respect you to know that you will be just on your Bible app. Don't let Instagram tempt you. Actually, Facebook, I'll say that to this crowd. Don't let Facebook tempt you. I know, I'm friends with you guys on Facebook. You're on it a lot. All right, so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 11. And after all of this happens, he sends out the disciples. Jesus prays. He starts to pray. And in Matthew 11, 28, after the Lord says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, he comes down and he says a verse that some of you are probably very familiar with. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. There's another translation of this verse. I usually read out of NIV, but there's another translation that says, if we can go to that next slide there, that says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Then he says, walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. What if we took the time to walk with Jesus and work with Jesus and watched how he did things? Because we take a lot of time to do that with other people. And that sounds a lot like worship, right? We take the time to walk and work and watch celebrities. We have that whole song memorized. We know what they're wearing. We follow them. We know where they're at. We know when their next concert is. We're walking with them and working them and watching them. What if we started to memorize his words, started to follow what he was doing? But in order to do that, we have to rest with him. And then he says, you do this, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That's why I love this translation, is because of those three words, rhythms of grace. Sometimes it's really hard to accept grace because of the heavy stuff in our lives that we have not released. I don't know if anyone's with me on that. Sometimes it's hard to receive grace, but in rhythms of grace, heaven forbid, a girl's preaching and she's about to dance a little bit. Okay, so like rhythm, you're gonna have, so like when there's someone has rhythm, they're doing this, right? Like it's constant. It's not like, okay, left, right. Okay, no, rhythm, it's kind of like breathing. Like once the song plays, you just kind of know what's going on. Once you learn to accept grace, rhythms of grace are going to pour out of you. Once you learn to accept God's grace, it becomes like this. It's not a, oh, they did this, I have to, oh, grace, let me. No, it's a rhythm of grace. And then he says, you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Learn to live freely and lightly. We have people in our lives. There's a girl I went to high school with who it seemed like she didn't walk. It was like she floated everywhere because she was just so free and light. I remember thinking, man, like it's the joy of the Lord. She's living freely and lightly, but when you've accepted that rhythm of grace and it's pouring out of you, you learn to live freely and lightly. Earlier in a song that we sang, it said, you are the song that I sing. I love that line. You are the words in the music. You are the song that I sing. But how are we singing that song if we're not taking the time to rest with the Lord? How do we live freely and lightly if we don't take time to rest in the Lord? You get to say yes to rest. Who doesn't want to do that? We all miss nap time, right? Like, that's the best. Resting with the Lord. We get to take time to be alone with him. So do it. It's the first part of release. Because once we rest with him, we start to dig up what some of this stuff might even be. The next thing that we have is responsibility. So rest, we had a noun with responsible, it's an adjective. The reality is, it's really easy to say, like, I've prayed about it, like, I'm giving it over to God. When we're trying to really release things, you have to take some part in this. You have to do some things for the Lord to work. I'm all about the Lord working through you. I know that he can do it. I'm about the Lord working through me. I know that he can do it. We also have some things that we need to get done. He's given us gifts. He's given us capability and responsibility to be able to let go of the things that we need to let go of. We're going to continue on. We're still in Matthew, but we're going to come on down to chapter 12. We just finished up in 11. In Matthew 12, at the beginning, verse 1, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priest." Jesus looks at Pharisees and said, "Haven't you read about David?" Yeah, they had. That was Jesus saying, like, "Hey, did you read this?" And they, like, their answer would have been yes. There's times when you are having conversation with people, whether that be friends or family, and outside forces are going to come in and say, nah. Or even maybe they're just saying things that need to be spoken up against. Let's say this. Girls, you're at a slumber party, right? You're all sitting there, and then, "Oh, this girl's the worst." They all start talking bad about the other person. Guys do this too. I'm a girl, though, and I've been at that slumber party. I know how that rolls. So, like, the girls start talking. You have the opportunity to sit there in silence. You have the responsibility to stand up and do what is right. Your resting with the Lord knows, hey, this is where I'm at with Jesus. Me and Big Man, we tight. Your responsibility with him is to speak up in those moments and do those things. Jesus speaks back immediately to something they knew. Because the reality is, in a lot of your conversations, there's going to be people around you that know what is right. Are you going to say it? Are you going to speak to what is true? Later on in Matthew 12, it scrolls down in verse 7, and he says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." I have a wooden panel by my door that says, "Seek Jesus, not religion." It's a good reminder of a daily goal. With this, it's hard, though, because I believe that this scripture is God-breathed, and I'm so thankful that we have this. Our adoration for Jesus is not just adoration for a book. Our adoration for Jesus, while using this, can be a beautiful thing in learning responsibility. I want you to think about school spirit. So Greg and Ed got to both be on this video, which was awesome, but aside, you didn't see that Lucy, Ed's twin sister, was my co-director in the video because she speaks Eubanks language and could help tell them what they needed to do. And Lucy was with me that whole time. And if you know Lucy, you know she goes to Innsworth High School. She's going to tell you about it. She loves that school. She's all about it. She's going to say, "Go Tigers." She's going to talk about it. She's going to post about it. She loves that school. Here's the thing. When you go to school, you don't get most school spirit for showing up on time, wearing dress code, and making sure that you get straight A's. Those are great things. Straight A's. Woo, we're proud of that. But that is not how you get most school spirit. You get most school spirit by the adoration, the hype for the team, the person that's there in the front lines at the pep rallies, excited to be there. Not just showing up on time and stepping in those places. With Lucy being excited about school, that's great. Like, she loves Innsworth. That's a cool thing. What if we're all as excited about Jesus? Sounds cheesy. Don't care. What if we're all excited about Jesus as she is about Innsworth? What if we get most school spirit, right? Like, you're hyped to the point where in the midst of those conversations, people know what your responsibility is. She doesn't want to talk bad about the other girl at the slumber party because she knows what you're responsible for. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Sing the songs and come to church. Do those things. Those are great things. But we have to find the adoration for Jesus. The next portion of this is relinquish, the part that you're like, all right, we've rested with the Lord. We've taken the responsibility, the ownership. We know what we're doing. We're responsible for these things. And now it's a verb. We have the noun, we have the adjective, and now we're actually going to do something. Like, let's get to the point. Let's release the balloons, which I wanted to today, but I wasn't allowed to. That would have been a fun thing to, like, let these go in the air, but it's okay. Relinquish. So at the end of this section of chapter 12 in verse 14, it says that the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. So the Pharisees and Jesus are bickering, like, as per usual. And verse 14, it tells how they might plot to kill Jesus. The next verse, Jesus withdrew from that place, practicing what he preached. Earlier, he told the disciples, shake the dust off your feet. And then guess what? He did that. They're like, oh, let's kill him. And he's like, dipping out. Like, here I go. He's releasing that over. Warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He healed their sick. He kept on healing. Kept on healing. There were people that were following Jesus that wanted to get healed that may not have been on complete adoration for Jesus. It's like, oh, that guy's healing people. Hey, man, that guy's healing people. Follow the man that's healing. Jesus kept on healing. You've been given gifts. You've been given things. In the midst of this room, a lot of us have a lot to offer. What's interesting is that there's going to be people in our lives that ask things of us or that want things. And sometimes we need to relinquish that over to the Lord and keep on healing. Jesus didn't say, like, oh, wait, no, now do you actually love me? Are you working with me, watching with me, working with me? Oh, okay, now you're healed. People were following him that needed healing, and he healed them. Sometimes it's not our call to make to know what we're releasing over. It's the Lord telling us what to do, and we do it. Choosing to not just love out of loyalty, but love because of the Lord. Think of someone in your life. Might be a spouse or a child, a parent, a close friend. You're number one. You love them so much. They're so great. They mean the world to you, right? So we have these people in our lives. And with these people, if someone hurts them, it is so easy to think like, oh man, you're the worst. You better not mess with them. This is like the world says you better stick up for them, right? Like, no, this is my person. Don't mess with them. It's so easy to get in that mentality. Or especially like in youth group terms, especially if like someone breaks up with someone and you're like, you did not just break up with my best friend. No, you did not. No. Like she's the world. You were the worst. And people get upset about that. What if part of our releasing over is to continue to heal? Allowing her more healing by saying, hey, like this is tough. We're gonna let the Lord handle that one. We're gonna let the Lord take responsibility for that. I can't dig for the rhythms of grace right now. So I'm gonna release that over to the Lord. Keep on healing anyway. And in this next section, he goes in and starts quoting Isaiah. So this portion, we have this in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Matthew 12, 18. Here is my servant whom I've chosen. The one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. God claims us as his own. And we throw out God claiming us as children and son and daughters a lot. But when we recognize that we are his, things start to matter less about being way too big or way too small for him to handle. We are his. We get to release the smallest of little balloons to him, and we get to release the largest bundles ever, bigger than the bundle on the house of Up. We get to release those things to him. We have the opportunity to do that. Some of you have probably heard this, but they say that in some places in Africa and in some places in India, in order to catch monkeys, they have a jar with a small hole in the top and a banana inside. And the monkey will reach in and grab the banana, and then because of that, they can't get their fist out because the opening is too small. And they just like they're stuck, they're caught, it's a trap. It works to catch the monkey. If the monkey would just let go of the banana, just release it, it would be free. But it won't give it up. It's saying, no, I want this banana way more than I want my freedom in life. I want this one thing in my life, whether it's really big or really small, I want this way more than I want an abundant, full, bigger and better life with Jesus. I want this one thing, and they become trapped. We become trapped in this. If we could take the time to rest, Mark, if you and your team want to come back up here. If we could take the time to rest, spend the time with the Lord where we can start to know what we need to be releasing. Turn that over into the responsibility that we have, using the gifts, the kingdom things that the Lord has given us to be able to start getting work done, to then relinquish, let them go. I would love for them to just be let go. To then relinquish the things in our life that we need to release and to be done with them. Good things and bad things. There's a lot of things that we hold on to. We might be holding on to Naughty. We're not going to Naughty this year. We're going to release that to the Lord. You might be holding on to a person in your life that has said, maybe they're not plotting to kill you like the Pharisees were to Jesus, but a person in your life that said, I'm just going to wear you down. I'm going to wear you down as hard as I can, and I'm going to take every little ounce of you that I have. Maybe we need to release that relationship over to the Lord. Maybe it's a demon of sin, something really dark in our lives that we've got to let go. A deep type of addiction, tough things that we've got to release. Maybe it's a good thing that we're holding on to too much to the point where we're not able to spend alone time with the Lord because we're so focused on that one thing, and that's all we can think about. But it's time to rest, be responsible, and relinquish and release over to the Lord those things in our life.